Hey everyone, so recently I had an episode where I talk about how my wife and I bought and then renovated a home, and we created a budget template to track costs and hopefully limit our spending and stick to the plan as much as possible. So with that, I put out a budget template that you can go and get, and that was our most downloaded freebie from the Career Yak show thus far. So I'll put a link again in the show notes. Go check that out if you have any type of projects, or you're renovating a house, or you're doing even a smaller project and you have to see what it's going to cost and track costs throughout so that hopefully you don't overspend. Go check that out. Super helpful. Just wanted to remind everyone of that. And thanks for listening. Enjoy the show.
Think about how many like acquaintances you have or people that you know that you have their phone number. And would you feel comfortable calling them up and saying like, hey, I just got into real estate. You know, I would, you know, love it if you or anybody you know, when you go to think about buying or selling or investing, that you would reach out to me. That's a hard, you know, that's really hard for people. And so, you know, I think that's something that is very challenging.
Hello and welcome to the Career Yak podcast, a show where we seek to learn what jobs, industries, and career paths are out there today and learn valuable lessons along the way. I'm your host, Christopher Goodwillie, and on today's show I have Chris Pals. Chris works for a realty firm in New Hampshire. He was actually, fun fact, our realtor when we recently bought our first home last year. So Chris has been fun to get to know, and it's been fun to compare, you know, sales notes. I'm in sales, he's in sales as a realtor, obviously. And also, it was really great learning Chris's story from a career perspective and how he used to work in a far different industry for a decade prior to getting into this business he's in today, why he made the transition, and what that looked like. Also, for our premium subscribers, this is the first episode where this will kind of be this type of structure, but there will be another episode on your feed if you're a premium subscriber where Chris goes into more details on earning potential, pay structure, and gives numbers associated with that. If you are looking to be in the realty business, or even if you're just curious, you're not necessarily going to become a realtor, but you're curious, you know, what does a realtor make, or what can they make, or what is an entry level kind of pay structure look like, and what is to be expected. Again, on our premium feed, we're going to really focus on getting more in depth in the numbers when it comes to, you know, business models, revenue potential, earning potential for specific roles, things like that. So Chris was nice enough to shed light on that side of being a realtor as well. And last but not least, I want to remind myself and those listening, Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." So I want to remember, as I hopefully progress in my career, that it is not my own strength that allows me the ability to produce wealth. It is God, and without God, I can do nothing. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. So, always a good reminder to have. And without further ado, here's my interview with Chris Pals. Chris, thanks for being on the show. I'm excited to chat, and you are a good guest to have on because we have history together as far as in the business world. You were our realtor that helped us buy our first house, so that's always that's always a good connection to have. It ended well, so that's also a good result. And and according to you, it's our first house, so we don't really have a good sample size. But according to you, it was an interesting dynamic and scenario that we had to go through together. So that was we can maybe shed light about that throughout the conversation. But yeah, to get started, if you could just kick it off, you're the first realtor we've had on the show, which is really cool. Obviously, it's a really interesting great career path if it's something you're interested in. Can you tell us a little bit about your current role? And then we'll kind of go back to the beginning and kind of how you got into it.
Definitely. Yeah. So my current role, and I guess like just, I think an understanding of like how real estate works a little bit to maybe understand, all realtors are independent contractors. So you have like these brokerages, like, you know, I'm with Keller Williams, but there's Coldwell Banker, Remax, you know, Century 21, you know, they're sort of like an umbrella, and underneath of it, you know, you partner with them. So we're not really like an employee of, so you basically run your own business. And so that's like one layer. And then additionally, underneath that, you know, Keller Williams umbrella, which is the brokerage that I affiliate with, you can create sort of like a business within the business. And so I am a part of the Vista Realty Group. And so that is a business. Again, I'm not an employee. I am a, you know, a contractor. Essentially, we signed like a partnership agreement. And so within that team, my role, on top of, you know, my being a realtor, you know, every day, you know, helping buyers and sellers, is the director of sales. And what that entails currently is, you know, finding, you know, recruiting, hiring, training, you know, and basically helping the agents on the team succeed, you know, and reach the goals and, you know, that they got into the business to, you know, in the first place for. So that's my current role. And I, you know, I can go into as much depth or kind of keep it on the surface for now, whatever you think.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's super interesting. And it's interesting. I think people think they have general knowledge on certain, you know, jobs or industries, and then you kind of hear it and you're like, yeah, I guess I never really thought of that dynamic. So that's interesting. As the, I guess a quick follow up, and then we can kind of go back to how you got into it. What, so you're, you know, title of VP of sales, but you're still an independent contractor. So you're still helping other reps and realtors kind of be successful in their role, even though you're all somewhat separate, but together.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely confusing. And I guess like just going back to like real estate in general, like I am an agent, you know, and I have this sort of other hat, which is more of like a coaching, mentoring, consulting role, you know, in that director of sales. But real estate in general, one thing that I don't think I knew going into it, there are so many roles and so many opportunities outside of like being an agent. You know, there's different like administrative positions, there's different marketing positions. There are people that just look for, you know, leads and new business. There are people that, you know, just do, you know, closings or, you know, help people or even just open doors for people. That's their whole job is to just work with a buyer, go to the houses, open the door, and then there'll be somebody else that does the negotiating part of that. And so I think that's one thing just to be aware of is that there's so many options and opportunities. And, you know, one of the things that like, you know, that kind of binds us all together in under this Vista Realty Group, you know, there is an agreement that we all sign, you know, that we get X, you know, as far as support in, you know, administrative help, marketing help, you know, whatever. And then a portion of our each commission goes to help support the team.
Got it. Okay.
And so like, that's kind of how the economics work a little bit. And, you know, it's a big cut, you know, frankly, but the way that I look at it, I have two kids and I don't know if you're, you know, how many people know, you know, a lot of people get into real estate and they say, you know, well, I'm in it for the flexible hours. And my first comment is always like, so you want to work all of the hours? because that's kind of what happens, you know, especially when you get started. And so the team and the sort of support and that admin staff and kind of all of that backing you and why, you know, we give such a big chunk of each, you know, closing to the team really helps me, you know, free up my nights and weekends and time with my family because, you know, at the end of the day, that's, you know, I think why, you know, a lot of people go to work is to help support their family. But if you can't ever spend time with them, you know, then it kind of defeats the purpose. So it's a little bit confusing in kind of how it all works together. But it's a really sort of like unique kind of like ecosystem. I think especially within Keller Williams, it's a pretty popular model right now because of this concept of like, work-life balance or not wanting to be, on all the time.
Right.
So I just was really drawn to that from the beginning.
Oh, that's cool. That's super cool. So how'd you get into it? Is this like what you dreamed about when you're 10 years old or what's the story?
Definitely not. It's funny. I actually had a degree in plant biology. I worked for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They had an agency called the Natural Resource Conservation Service.
Oh, wow.
My title there was a soil conservationist. And so we did a lot of work with farms and other large property owners, basically promoting, or in a way, I guess you could say, sort of selling, conservation practices to these people so that, whatever they were doing, would be less impactful on the environment or better, for the long term. And so it was sort of developed after the Dust Bowl. They're trying to say, the government was like, hey, let's not have that happen again. And so that's how the agency was founded, and it grew from like soil to, water, air, plants and animal kind of, that's why it became natural resources and not just soil. So I did that for like a decade, and I, not to speak poorly on our, federal government here, but, got a little jaded with this sort of like massive machine. I'm not sure if this, I think this is true. I think the federal government is like the biggest employer in the U.S., if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
And so, you're just part of this like really, really, really large organization. And I think like if anybody's been part of a big organization, there are just things that just kind of get lost and the message gets lost and priorities for maybe people at the top, which for us, the people at the top were like politicians. And so they're passing spending bills and they want to do, show, certain progress. And so it sort of turned, I was always like an environmentalist and wanted to do that type of thing. And it sort of became less about it, what I started to see this bigger picture. It became less about like helping these individual farmers, do better on the ground. And it felt more like, I don't know if you heard the term like bean counting. Of enter numbers into a computer to report so that, in my mind, maybe I'm just projecting, but some politician could say, okay, look at all the good we did by spending X amount of dollars here. So we should spend X amount of dollars next year. And I don't know if you're familiar with like the Farm Bill, but it's a very large piece of legislation that funds, funded our agency and all the, programs that we ran. And so, after a decade, I started to get a little jaded. And then, one of the other things too is like it was a very hierarchical growth path. And so there wasn't, the harder you work, the smarter you work, the better you work your job. I didn't necessarily feel rewarded for those things. It was more of like your time in the business or maybe a lot of times people were moving around the country, which again, my family's super important to me. Like that wasn't really an option to start like picking us up and moving us across the country every couple years. And so, having that background, it's a pretty specific skill set. And I started to think like, what can I do, where I can be, compensated for like hard work and being smarter and doing better, and things like that. And so, I'd always had a little bit of an interest in real estate, more kind of on like the investing side, less so much on the buying and selling side. So I started to explore it. And, the other thing that I sort of realized is that, man, I worked with a lot of new and beginning farmers, that were either just young or second career. There were a lot of people that did very well in tech and finance and were coming to New Hampshire to start a farm and wanting to do these things. And I was like, well, you should have just bought a different farm. I was like, because you can't do these things here. And so I was like, wouldn't it be nice if somebody had that experience to help those people, get into the right piece of property. And so that's why I kind of initially dipped my toes into real estate part-time, kind of with that focus on the agricultural side. Another point that I'd like to make, though, is that real estate is not a part-time job, as I discovered. It's really challenging to do part-time and to do it well. There's a lot, I think, in the state of New Hampshire, something like 8,000, you know, people have their license. And yet, I don't know if you've heard of the, 80-20 rule, but so it's very similar, you know, but about 20% of them do 80% of the business. And so, you know, I really struggled for the first 3 or 4 months, you know, trying to do it part-time, felt like I was working tons of hours, not getting a lot of traction. Somebody in the office was like, hey, I work for the Vista Realty Group, and it's a husband-wife, Mike and Ryan business. Like, you should talk to Mike and Ryan. You know, they have a farming background. They do some stuff in agriculture. And, you know, we met, this would be almost six, it would be like 6 years ago in March, maybe. It might have been the first time we met. And I was just really like taken from the beginning. You know, they just had such a great vision, and the business was much smaller than theirs was. And they just had such a great vision, and I just felt like the passion, and they really got me fired up to do this thing full time. Which is tricky though, because again, I'm an independent contractor. Everything that we earn is off of commission. And so I had to, you know, then kind of convince my wife that I'm going to leave this, you know, pretty secure government job with good benefits to go do this 100% commission-based, you know, uncertainty, you know, job. luckily, after some time, you know, she kind of was on board and, you know, believed in my belief in myself. And I made the jump full time. It's not easy, you know, to make that transition, especially, you know, we owned a home at the time. We didn't have any kids at the time, but we had bills. And so, you know, there was definitely a few steps backwards in the first, you know, probably 6 to 12 months. And then, you know, I can just, you know, give some stats, you know, to help. I think it was like maybe 6 months went, maybe like 7 transactions, I want to say. And then, so the next 12 months was my first full year. I went to 24, and then went to 36, and then went to 48. And then at that point, you know, it was like this past 2 years, so 20, 21 and 22 is when I started to move into that director of sales role, where I was kind of then helping train and lead other agents. So it kind of went backwards a little bit on the numbers. I think it was like right around 40 each year, the last 2 years of transactions. But now I was able to, you know, help all these other people. And then so the team, the Vista Realty Group, when I started, I think that first year we might have did like as a team, and there was a very small, maybe like 3 agents and 1 admin, like 55 or 56 transactions, I think. And then, you know, last year we now have 5 agents in addition to myself, like 4 full-time admin, and then the team owner. We did, I think it was like 157, 158 transactions.
And oh, so, wow.
Yeah. So it's been a really great like growth path and growing, you know, seeing the business grow. And so yeah, that's kind of like my story, how I got into it. You know, it was really that just kind of being a little dissatisfied with where I was at and wanting more. And then, you know, really connecting with the Vistas, you know, was a little bit of rocket fuel for, you know, this career change.
Normal soil scientist to realtor career path you hear about every day. That's pretty cool.
So. Exactly.
That's super cool. So you did start part-time, it sounds like, and just kind of eased into it, but it wasn't an easy ease into, if you will.
I fell flat on my face at part-time. And realistically, anybody that I've seen try to do it part-time has also experienced the same thing. So when we're interviewing and bringing new agents into the team, a lot of people want to do that. And I get that. It's hard, you know, to pay bills when you're 100% commission, where day one, you find somebody that wants to buy or sell a house, you get them under contract. You're still looking 45 days before your first paycheck, you know, just the average time it takes to close.
Right.
It's a scary prospect, and it, you know, definitely takes some planning, but also takes some faith. And like, you know, I just really believed that this is something that I could be successful in, and I really enjoyed doing it and was willing to take that risk and was willing to maybe incur some debt for a few months, you know, maybe more like 6 to 12 months, you know. But looking back 5 years later, it was the best decision I ever made.
Yeah. No, that's super cool. And it's cool you have that perspective too, because it is a risk of anything, you know, job changes or what have you. Right now I sell construction accounting software, and it's a big deal to switch your accounting system. So yeah, our sales cycles are a little longer than I'm used to in my sales jobs I've had in the past. So there's definitely a lot of planning. You got to make sure you're prospecting, getting, you know, the full gamut of lead and opportunity stages, things like that. So you're not coming to, you know, you have a killer month and then 6 months later, you're just bone dry.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing in real estate. And like you hit it on that idea of like prospecting, like that's like the secret sauce to real estate that nobody really talks about, you know, 'cause there's so many shows now about real estate, and I'll be honest, I don't watch any of them. But I know I don't. And I know there are a lot of agents that do, and I hear a lot of the chatter about it, but it definitely like glamorizes it, especially like $1 million listings or whatever.
Oh, sure.
Over agents. And like, they it just make it seem very glamorous, and like the work and where the, you know, opportunity and, you know, pathway to success lie is in that prospecting and in building relationships and, you know, connecting and adding value to people.
Yeah.
And it's not something that's really obvious if you don't have, you know, a sales background, which I didn't. I came into this totally green, I didn't even know what I didn't know when I first started.
Well, that's a good point. And you kind of have to fall forward to learn. And I had a director of sales one time tell me, you won't be successful in sales unless you're willing to look stupid. So I was like, that's a pretty good piece of advice right there. You got to take some risks. So, you kind of shed light on it as far as, you know, why others should consider being in real estate. I mean, just as you've progressed, would you say it's not easy at first, but the growth potential and just kind of being the captain of your own destiny kind of is definitely part of the appeal?
What other job can you go into and earn $50,000 one year and the next year, if you wanted to, if you were, you know, willing to do the work and plan and be smart about it, could make a $500,000 the next year? I mean,
right.
There's very few jobs that you can do that, I think. And so like, that is, I think, one, you know, reason. But you know, at the end of the day, I do think that there's a little bit of like a personality match, and it shouldn't necessarily only be about like the money, because there's lots of careers that you can make, you know, a good income in.
Sure.
You know, I think that you really have to be, you know, interested in it. I mean, that's probably goes for any, you know, job or career out there, that if you really want to, you know, have a happy life, you know, do something that you love. And so, you know, I think there's an aspect of that, but, you know, I find most people I talk to are interested in real estate in one way or another. And so I think it's just what I would say is like, it's getting clarity on what is the actual job and making sure that people know that it's not just like driving fancy cars, dressing nice and, you know, opening up the door for $1 million homes. There's just like a little bit more grit and, kind of dirty work behind the scenes that goes into
right.
all that.
Well, that's a good segue. So tell us a little bit about challenges besides just, you know, getting your start, but as far as just the day-to-day grind and challenges of, you know, what would you, if someone's genuinely looking into this career path, which I mean, this is kind of the point of the show, what would you say and warn them of, hey, just a heads up, these are some things you're going to have to go through that might not be your favorite.
Yeah. I mean, it all comes back to that idea of like prospecting, you know, and, you know, everybody and myself included, when you get started, you're like, I'm a nice guy. People like me. Like, they're going to want to work with me regardless, you know? Yeah. And like, the fact of the matter is, like I said, there's 8,000 agents in New Hampshire. There's like a million people. There's almost like one in 100. So like, you can't throw a rock without hitting an agent. But one of the things that we, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot of time with new agents or even ones that have been in the business for a while is it's called like your value proposition.
Yep.
So why would somebody choose you over everybody else?
Yeah.
And so I think that getting really clear on that, you know, like, and sometimes it's a niche, like, you know, I know this part of the state better than anybody else, or, you know, I've been an investor in multifamilies in Manchester, and so I know that, you know, niche. Sometimes, like, you know, when I started, I was like, hey, I'm so green, I don't have a lot of business. I guarantee you that nobody is going to be on top of this more than me. You know, like, I couldn't go be like, oh, I have so much experience. I'm, you know, I know all these things. I was like, I'm just going to work harder than other people for you. And so that was my initial value proposition. But the second thing I would say, you know, is there's a lot of fear for people getting in the business around calling people and talking to them. And, you know, at some point you have to ask for business, you know,
right.
You have to say like, hey, like, if you don't have a, you know, do you have a realtor that you would work with? If not, could I be that person? You know, like, what would you, you know, what would you need? And like, and for me personally, it was, you have, you know, I would say you can classify, like, everybody's got like their inner circle, like their best friends, their closest family, pretty easy to get them on board. And then for me, total strangers, very easy to talk to, although some people struggle with that as well.
Yeah.
But think about how many like acquaintances you have or people that you know that you have their phone number, and would you feel comfortable calling them up and saying like, hey, I just got into real estate. You know, I would, you know, love it if you or anybody, you know, when you go to think about buying or selling or investing that you would reach out to me. That's that's really hard for people. And so, you know, I think that's something is very challenging, you know, and then it's like, we talk about too, and we do a lot of tracking of numbers and things like that, so we can look at conversion rates and whatever, but treating it like almost like a sport, you know, like you really, you know, it takes a lot of mental energy to show up and have those conversations. And you know, I'm sure, you know, like if you come onto a call or, you know, a prospecting call and you're kind of like ho-hum, like, yeah, sure. You know, it's not going to work out very well for you.
Right.
So keeping that high level of energy, you know, and we do, you know, anywhere from 2 to 3 hours a day, we do that every day, Monday through Friday. And so that's a challenge for a lot of people. And I would say like, there's a few other big challenges, I think. And it's like, you think you have this freedom, but really all of a sudden the pressure's on for you to perform.
Right.
So you can pay your bills. So you don't have a boss telling you to show up at this time, you know, do this, do that. You're all self-directed. I mean, we have a little bit of structure within the team. You know, that's part of one of the benefits and why agents want to come, you know, work with us, is because we kind of have that structure built out. But imagine if you're responsible for that for yourself.
Right.
You know, do you have the discipline to show up and do that every day?
For sure.
So yeah, I think that's a big challenge. And then once you start to get busy and get, you know, get business, work-life balance, because, you know, your phone can ring nonstop if you're going. And so you can work 24/7 if you want to.
Yeah.
So really setting those boundaries and trying to protect, you know, your time with your family or the whatever it is that like kind of like fills your cup.
Yeah.
So that when you show up on Monday morning, you're ready to go. Because if you're not ready to go, then it hurts you in the long run, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And obviously, you know, we work together. One thing I appreciated about working with you was you kind of made it, I knew you had a family and kind of had your nightly routine and stuff. So even if I called or texted, I wasn't worried you wouldn't get back to me. You know what I mean? But I didn't really mind you not answering the phone either. I just kind of knew. And I was like, oh, I'll just try to get in touch with them. Maybe I'll catch them before I forget. But, you know, I think a lot of it is in the follow-up too. I mean, I read something the other day, don't quote me on the numbers, but it's just like so many opportunities are lost to just pure neglect, like simple stuff, like call them back, you know, text them back, email them back, you know, what have you.
We talk about that all the time, Chris, like all of the time. And actually there's a saying, you know, in, I don't know if it's Keller Williams or all of real estate, but you know, the fortune is in the follow-up.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you can, you know, cold call or, you know, prospect all you want, but a lot of times it's going to take, you know, more than one or two touches. Like the other thing that we say all the time is like, people don't care what you have to say until they know that you care.
Especially, oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Especially around, you know, real estate, because it's a very personal, you know, it's not like a business transaction. It's a personal transaction. So,
yeah.
You know, and I think like going back to just like the timing and, you know, having a family and things like that. And some of it's just like letting people know up front, like, hey, like I have these two kids, you know, there is a time of the evening where I'm going to be, you know, doing bedtime and dinner and bath. Everybody that I typically share that with, they're like, okay, like I get that. That's fine. You know, like I work on Saturdays, but Sundays, you know, I really, unless it's, you know, impossible for any other way, like I usually like to spend that time with the family. And I think it's, you know, this idea of setting expectations, and that's, you know, worked well. And most people appreciate that. They're fine with that. They understand that, like, you know, nobody works 24/7.
Right. Yeah, definitely. No one works well 24/7 either. You need your time away. So no, that's good. I think that's good to get the whole picture. Cause I know when I'm changing jobs or doing an interview or whatever in the past, I want to know, like, shoot me straight. What does it take to be successful? You know? So I think that's all really valuable information if anyone's interested. So what's you know, as you progress and you've been in this role a while, you've been successful, you know, what's kind of next for A, you, but two, like being part of a team, what's that look like?
Yeah, no. So I'm, you know, super excited in this role. And basically, so like I said, we have five other agents on the team now. And, you know, by the end of the year, we're trying to grow it to 10. So we're trying to, you know, always looking to hire, visitteam.com. If anybody's interested, you know, we have, you know, applications out there for agents, but we also have some administrative, you know, positions too. So that's one step is trying to grow the team. And that's where like I get super excited about growing the team and sharing this opportunities with people, because it's like, you know, really wanting to help people meet their goals and reach their goals. And so, you know, that's one of our biggest kind of focuses for the business this year. You know, personally, one of the things that, you know, my wife and I have always been kind of interested in working towards is growing like a our own sort of investment property portfolio. And so we're actually in the process of moving, and we're going to be, we're actually not going to sell our house. We're going to rent it. And then we have one other property, that single family, that we rent currently. But, you know, I would love by the end of the year to, you know, find something else, to rent, probably more of a multifamily situation. But, you know, that's where I would like to go personally. And while continuing to grow the team, you know, here, and really look towards allowing these other agents to be successful, and maybe, you know, passing off even some of my business and doing less, you know, day-to-day buyers and sellers, and more day-to-day, you know, working with agents on the team.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's super cool. So kind of as we wrap up, what would be your parting piece of career advice for someone either starting their career or mid-career, like you were, looking to make a change, that wants to either A, look into a different industry or career path, or just needs kind of inspiration to be more successful where they are?
You know, I actually really believe that, you know, you got to bet on yourself. And like, if you're unhappy where you're at, I mean, if you try to make a change, there's really only two outcomes. You know, you can succeed or you can fail. And either way, you're going to have no regrets, you know? And I can't remember the name of the book, and maybe you've heard of this. I was reading or something online. I haven't read the book, but it was about somebody went and interviewed a bunch of people that were basically on their deathbed. And it was like, what was like, you know, your biggest, like, you know, kind of regret in life. And like a lot of people were like the opportunities that they didn't take, you know? And so like, I don't know, that just like really resonated with me and this idea that like, even if you fail, at least you have no regret.
Right.
That's something that like in that book and in that little kind of video that I watched on it, that was like the number one thing that people said on their deathbed, that they like had like these regrets. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know about you, but that kind of scares the crap out of me. Like, I don't want to have any regrets on my deathbed, you know? And so I just, you know, I just tell people go for it, you know, even if you know, it's uncertain, even if you think, you know, you might end up in debt or you know, in some sort of financial struggle. Like our whole thing too, is like, we have, you know, really like to have a very like positive mindset and want to, you know, believe that we're going to succeed. And I think like starting with like your mindset and around, you know, around, you know, making that change.
No, that's good. I try to use that to weigh decisions. Like, even if this doesn't work out exactly as I want, you know, I had a promotion opportunity, but we had to move cities one time. And we didn't have kids or anything, but I talked to my wife and I'm like, you know, worst case scenario, I really suck at my job and I don't make as much money as we anticipated and I get fired. Hey, guess what? We both have good parents. We could live with them for a little bit. It's like it's humorous and it's funny to think about. Like, obviously that would have been horrible, but
right. Right.
It's not maybe as dire of a risk as you anticipate. And I definitely would have regretted, you know, not trying. So that's interesting. That's good.
And I think like the thing too is like, and I don't know if you've heard this, is that, and it's like a psychological thing, that people are more motivated by like what they can potentially lose than what they can potentially gain.
Oh yeah. 100%. You're definitely right.
The way to like reframe that though is like, if you don't take that opportunity, what could you be missing out on?
It's true. Yeah. You got to look at the opportunity costs. I took a managerial decision-making class in college and they went through like these, I mean, they had data and everything to support it, but these case studies where, you know, they'd ask someone like, hey, you know, if you don't do this, we're going to dock your check $100 or something. And they mm-hmm. would always do it. But then if they said, hey, you want to work an extra hour, well, we'll pay you double time and you can make $100 extra, and they'd be like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Same result, but our brain works in mysterious ways.
I know. It's crazy. And so, you know, it's constantly like that reframing. And, you know, I think like, read books, like listen to podcasts, you know, watch YouTube videos. Like that's where, you know, I kind of like found a lot of inspiration from and, you know, a lot of these, you know, quotes and positivity and ideas about like, you know, moving forward and, you know, the next step. And, you know, I just think this journey of like constantly growing is also like really important to whatever career you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Chris. I appreciate it. And yeah, super insightful. I gosh, half of this podcast is selfish. It's just for me, you know.
I learned so funny. I've done a couple like career talks and things like that for like high schoolers or things, and then like it's always the adults that come up to me afterwards. And they're like, I had no idea.
Oh, like the parents and stuff. Yeah, that's hilarious. Well, like I remember I used to sell to different industries when I worked in transportation, and I would just like. I'm like, I know this is probably not the best use of my time. I would just sit down with customers and be like, oh my gosh, tell me how you started the business. You know, yeah. This is fascinating. So I'm like, well, you know, if I re-listen to it and my mom and dad listen to it, I guess it's still worth it. So
That's awesome.
Well, cool. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. And yeah, we'll be in touch. Hey everyone, and thanks again for listening. You know, when I search for jobs, if I'm looking for a change, sometimes I really struggle to know what does this job really pay. So if you want to hear more on earning potential in the real estate business and what it looks like, maybe how you can grow from, you know, year one to a seasoned veteran in the real estate business and how high you can actually go, then definitely become a premium subscriber. Check out our premium episode we'll have that'll pop up on your feed if you are a premium subscriber, where Chris takes time to go into all of that. Again, with the premium feed, we want to focus on earning potential, salary, commission numbers, things like that, as well as business models, revenue models for different businesses as well. So we'll dig more into the number side of careers and businesses. And again, just become a premium subscriber and you'll have access to all that. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Hey everyone, one way you can support the show is by checking out our new affiliate partner, Lone Birch Company, based out of New Hampshire, where I am as well. Their owner and founder, Jarek, actually did an interview with me. His episode may or may not be out, depending on when you're listening to this, but go check them out and use the coupon code CAREER for 10% off. They make wood, handmade wood products for your desk or office setting. So check them out. Super high quality stuff, and it'll help Jarek's business and the show. Thanks.